Welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics, a show that looks at Silicon Valley trends from startup to exit. We also dive deeper on economic events that touch all of us, things like wages, jobs, and real estate. This week, we start with host Jason Middleton looking to get smarter, faster, and better with Pulitzer Prize-winning Charles Duhigg. The best-selling author has new thoughts on making us more productive while bringing down our stress levels. Then Google's car technology division, Android Auto, talks about their new release for better integrating our smartphone tech into the cabins of our cars, with safety the primary concern. And how about live gaming? One of the biggest gaming platforms in the world, Twitch, has launched another new product for gamers, as well as spectators. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This week we start with smarter, faster, better. And during the interview, we land on the Disney movie Frozen. Don't worry, we'll get there. That's how effective an uptick in productivity can be, whether it's in our homes or our work. New York Times reporter and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Charles Duhigg's previous book, The Power of Habit, was a bestseller. And in his new one, Smarter, Faster, Better, Charles is Penguin Random House's top-selling audiobook of 2016.
In many ways, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get ourselves to think more. Throughout history, thinking has always been the killer productivity app.
Part of Mr. Duhigg's premise is that psychological safety is critical to helping teams work effectively. The way we listen and the way we feed back helps a team come together and be more productive. Here's my chat with the author, slightly edited for time.
Charles Duhigg, I'm a reporter at the New York Times, and I'm the author of Smarter, Faster, Better, about the science of productivity, and The Power of Habit, about the science of habit formation.
And I have to add that you also are a Pulitzer Prize winner as well for the New York Times, so congratulations on that and everything. You've set the bar rather high for this next book. I wonder if we could start with a working definition, or your working definition, more precisely, of productivity.
Well, productivity differs from person to person and place to place and time to time, right? For some people, a productive Wednesday morning might be one where you get your kids to school as fast as humanly possible and you get back to your desk and you spend, 20 minutes getting caught up on email and then you jump into your next task. But a productive Friday morning might be one where you're on top of everything and so you can walk your child to school and kind of take your time and have a conversation with them. A productive Saturday is very different from a productive Tuesday. So there's no real one definition of productivity. But what's important is that people know when they feel productive and when they don't. They know when they're getting the things done that are most important to them. And part of being productive is spending time thinking about what productivity is for you. And oftentimes we don't do that. We get so busy that we never have time to think about what is productive. But if you take the time to make sure that you have a little bit of space to think about what productivity means, you're much more likely to get the important things done that you really want to get done.
And I believe that may have been part of the reason behind Smarter, Faster, Better, right? The impetus for the book was you were trying to answer a question that started with your kids and with your home life, right?
That's exactly right. I felt like I was working all the time. And I felt like the faster and faster I was running, the more and more I was falling behind. And so a big part of trying to keep on top of things was trying to figure out, how do I define productivity? How do I take control of my life so that I'm doing the things that are important to me, but not just wasting time being busy, right? You and I could each spend 10 hours a day doing email. And the more emails you send, the more you're going to get. And that might feel productive, but it isn't, right? It's just busy.
Right.
You might not get anything important done. And so it's really about forcing yourself, creating the habits that push yourself to ask, what are the most important priorities? What do I really want to get done? What is going to change the game for me and for other people? And then figuring out habits to push yourself to focus on those rather than simply reacting to everything else.
We're speaking with Charles Duhigg. He is the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the New York Times. He's also the author of a new book, Smarter, Faster, Better, and he's also written about the science of productivity in The Power of Habit. Now, with this book, Smarter, Faster, Better, you exposed some secrets. You went out and found some real-world examples of more productivity in life and in business, and there was one from Google that kind of fascinated me a little bit. Can you please extrapolate that?
Yeah, so Google spent millions of dollars in 5 years trying to figure out how to build the perfect team. And initially their thought was, oh, you build the perfect team by putting all the right people together, right? Maybe you want to put extroverts with introverts. Maybe you want to put together people on a team who are friends outside of the conference room so they get along really well. And for almost 2 years, they studied how to put people together. And what they found was that the data didn't show any patterns. They couldn't detect any pattern that said these groups belong with these other folks. So it's not about who you put together. Instead, what they discovered is that teams become really productive and effective when you focus on how the teams interact with each other rather than who is on the team. And in particular, there's a group norm, a kind of culture that you need to make a team really effective, which is known as psychological safety, where people feel like they can say things, they can speak their mind without other people holding it against them. Which brings up this question, how do you create psychological safety? And the answer is that there's these two behaviors in particular that seem to make psychological safety very feasible. The first is what's called equality in conversational turn-taking. Does everyone at the table speak up in roughly equal proportion? Now, that doesn't mean everyone says the same number of words or talks for the same number of minutes, but does everyone at the table end up commenting on each thing that comes up? Or are there people who sort of hang out at the back and don't say much at all? Because if people aren't speaking up, it's unlikely that you're going to get that psychological safety. Another important way to create psychological safety is you can't just have people talking up. You also have to show them that you're listening. And that's a behavior called ostentatious listening, that I'm repeating back what someone said to me. I'm picking up on nonverbal cues. I'm saying, hey, Mary, I see that your arms are crossed. It doesn't seem like you like what's being said right now. Tell me what's going on inside your head. What are you thinking? That, if you have this equality in conversational turn-taking and this ostentatious listening, they seem to combine to create psychological safety. And psychological safety is the number one thing that's correlated with effective teams.
Very proactive in both of those examples, especially the listening part. And I'm wondering, you've done some other research in before. My producer and I both love your video you did on disruption. And I'm wondering, does disruption also spur productivity in a way, either in life or in business?
Yeah, disruption can spur productivity. I mean, in many ways, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get ourselves to think more. Throughout history, thinking has always been the killer productivity app, right? The thing that pushes us to be most successful is thinking more deeply about the choices we're making, about what our goals are, about how we stay focused on our priorities, about how we make our teams work, about how we become creative. And so in many ways, the whole point of Smarter, Faster, Better is to teach you a series of habits that can push people to think more deeply about the choices that they're making. Now, it's one thing to say you should think deeply. It's another thing to actually do it, because it's hard to think, right? We're resistant to thinking too much. Our brain loves to conserve energy by not thinking. So what Smarter, Faster, Better does is it says, here's how to build what are known as cognitive routines, cognitive habits that help us think more effortlessly.
My last question would be then, another example in the book, to pivot back to your new book, Smarter, Faster, Better. We're speaking with Charles Duhigg, of course, a best-selling author. You have in there that Disney had to shake up its team when it comes to Frozen. I have a child of a certain age. I'm very familiar with this product. I'm wondering exactly if you could, in 90 seconds or so, let us know what some of that was.
Most people know Frozen as a huge success, but what they don't know is that for the movie Frozen, it was on the brink of catastrophe until just weeks before it appeared in movie theaters. The reason it worked is because Disney does not believe that creativity is about one creative genius or that some people are more creative than others. They believe that creativity is a process, and that it's a process of combining cliched ideas in new ways. And that if you establish that process, if you get people to combine old ideas, that creative products come out. And they come out very productively. They come out on schedule. They come out very, very efficiently. And so that's what the whole Disney system is. It's about saying, we want you to take old ideas and combine them in new ways, because that's how you're going to get your most creative insights.
Mr. Duhigg, thank you very much for your time this morning. I hope you have a productive rest of day.
Thank you.
That was Charles Duhigg. He's earned them, so let's run down his bona fides. Duhigg is an investigative reporter for The New York Times. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. He is a winner of the National Academies of Sciences, National Journalism, and George Polk Awards. His previous book, The Power of Habit, is a national bestseller. We were speaking with him about his newest book, Smarter, Faster, Better. It's about increasing personal productivity without increasing stress. Mr. Duhigg's book is doing extremely well as an audio book, probably for people who have to be in their cars quite a bit, but they want to use that time productively. So we'll put down the pages and get into the car with Google's Android Auto next.
We've signed up over 50 car brands that now ship Android Auto compatible cars, and there's now over 200 compatible models on the road. We think that'll be 300 by the end of 2017. So we're really excited about the momentum there, and that rollout's been going great.
Do you think he meant to say rollout when he was talking about tech in cars? I think so. Anyway, more on upgrading our in-car experiences without having to upgrade our entire cars. Well, that's coming up. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.